This is a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network, WDPN, bringing you the very best in internet talk radio.
After slogging through the dungeons of everyday life for an entire week, it's now time for the Boss Fight. Folks, welcome to Boss Fight, the WDPN video game review podcast. I'm Kevin Kessler, and I am joined yet again, much the same as last week, though hopefully for a much shorter amount of time, by two all-star panelists here on this amazing video game review podcast. First of all, Mr. TJ Bogart.
I'm the best.
And also, folks, my wife, Jay Lee, Jacqueline Leon Kessler.
Ring! Jackie just found a secret.
Very good. Very good. And if you could tell by that little sound effect, this week we are discussing Tomb Raider. We are discussing the reboot, Square Enix, another Square Enix game.
Yes, indeed.
I forgot about that one when I was putting together the first month of programming.
Is that an issue?
Well, next week we have another Square Enix.
Is that an issue?
No.
That should just tell you something about the state of Square Enix gaming nowadays.
It should just be the Square Enix podcast. Well, folks, we are going to be discussing Tomb Raider. That is the reboot of the franchise that came out in 2013 for the Xbox 360 and PlayStation 3 consoles, as well as
PC.
And PC, and has just been re-released in a special definitive edition for the Xbox One and PS4. This is a reboot of the classic franchise, like the classic Gamer Girl franchise. And folks, I am going to be of little help when discussing the original franchise here because I've never played it. However, my lovely wife sitting here is a Lara Croft fanatic, so much so that she cosplayed Lara Croft at Comic-Con.
Huge fan. Huge.
Yeah.
I can't say enough.
Understatement.
Yes.
I cannot.
And TJ, you've delved into the realm of the Tomb Raider before.
Yeah, I was into that a little bit. You know, the original game, I played the first one, never any of the sequels.
Right.
And, of course, the reboot, which is phenomenal.
Absolutely phenomenal.
So just the first one and the most recent
First one and most recent. That's
okay.
It. Yeah, I've bookended that series so far.
Now, the concept of the reboot has been something that's been going through geek popular culture a lot in the last couple of years. I mean, we're seeing it with superhero movies constantly. Spider-Man's getting rebooted. Hulk's getting rebooted. You know, everything it gets the term reboot. It all started with The Incredible Hulk, and ever since then, you know, we've had some great ones. Amazing Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk. We've had some bad ones, the upcoming Fantastic Four movie. But now the concept of the reboot has been carried over into the realm of video games with this. There have been two this year, within the last couple of years. The first one was Devil May Cry.
Right.
Which injected some new life into that franchise. That'll be a future show, I'm sure, because I enjoyed that game.
Absolutely.
And Tomb Raider, which is arguably the biggest game franchise to receive a reboot in recent memory. You know, Lara Croft is a widely recognized character.
Right.
In modern popular culture. I mean,
but she may not be, just based on the big switch that they made in the character model of the new reboot.
But the fact that she doesn't have boobs that come out.
Yeah,
to
the fact that you can see most of her other than
or her boob size changed over the course of the years.
We'll get to Lara's
to big
boobs.
To small to insanely huge,
yes,
and then
I'm
back
sure,
to
sure
natural
we
again.
We will cover Lara's boobs extensively through the next hour, folks.
Zing.
Okay, so you know, Lara Croft, obviously there were two movies with Angelina Jolie playing her.
First one, womp womp.
Yeah. I was about to say, are you sure there was a second movie?
I was so excited, by the way, when that first movie came out.
You didn't like the first one?
No, the first one was
good. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I liked it.
But just because I enjoy Lara Croft.
Yes.
Not Angelina Jolie, not the way that she portrayed it per se, but I was just like the first one waiting to get tickets. I was so excited.
Well, you know, the first thing, the thing that I think people really enjoy with a hero like this, particularly with a reboot, is an origin story. Okay, when we first met Lara, she was already like super badass, mega flipping through the air with dueling pistols.
She'd been doing
bears.
It for years. Yeah.
Diving 45 feet from her balcony into her pool in her
just
room.
A normal day.
Croft Manor, and this is the first game, folks, where we really got to see Lara begin. Almost, it was very like Batman Begins kind of thing.
Yes.
Well, technically, you see her kind of begin in Last Revelations, but I wasn't really a fan.
Yeah. What was wrong with that?
Well, first of all, the canon of Tomb Raider, how she started her whole story is just fragmented. Mm-hmm. Because the way it was in the first game is completely different from the way it was in the second, the third, definitely the fourth.
Okay.
And especially after, like, Crystal took over.
Crystal?
The design team.
Okay.
Core was a design team from the first game onto Angel of Darkness, which was horrible.
And had a cool song to it, though. I do love that song.
Which song was that one?
Angel of Darkness. I didn't play that one. It's a really cool song.
There was a formula that they followed year after year, and there was a lot of pressure for them to release games every single year, starting in 1996 and continuing on. And you started to see the cracks, especially in the third game, where you were like, all right, what else can you give us here? I mean, we like the character, we like what she's doing, but... we're pretty much getting bored with it.
Well, and she was also a very one-dimensional character back then. She was kind of like what Dante or Bayonetta were, like before the Devil May Cry reboot, Dante, where it was just kind of like a wise crack, a wink to the camera, and just like unbelievable action sequences of shooting stuff, right?
Yeah, not much development.
Yeah, I think we need to start first, though, with how she was created, the image that her creator had at first, and how she developed from there.
Okay.
You know, for the first game... Core Design really wanted a game that was something kind of Indiana Jones-esque, and that's a direction that they went in, but they wanted something a little different, obviously.
Right.
And the creator, Toby Gard, he decided he wanted someone that was female, that was hard as nails, that was courageous and adventurous, and really resourceful. No, not necessarily. Not necessarily. That first one, I mean, she had some boobs,
yeah.
But they weren't ginormous. He actually left Core because they wanted, after the first game, to make her, you know, this girl in some skimpy bikini and, you know, just a sex symbol.
Uh-huh.
So he actually left, and he went to start his own game developing business on his own. Yeah, he did come back to, he did cross paths with his creation later on. For Legends.
Oh, he came back to the franchise?
Yes, he was hired as a consultant.
Interesting.
That's when Crystal took over.
Okay.
Crystal started designing the games after that.
And is that when her boobs deflated again? Or is it like...
Well, besides the boobs, because that's not so important. But the story actually came back to life. Because Core just drove it into the ground by the time Angel of Darkness came out. It was just horrendous. The first game, she was supposed to be Laura Cruz. That's a little fun fact.
Laura Cruz. Okay.
Cruz. That was her first name.
Cruz as in like Tom Cruise or C-R-U-Z?
Like
Cruz.
Hispanic Cruz.
Okay.
That was,
so instead of being a Brit, she was going to be a Hispanic.
Yep. But I think Core is a British company, I believe.
Okay.
So I think they were like tipping their hat to the company and said, well, we'll make her British. You know, an heiress, an aristocratic heiress.
That's a little fun fact. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
No idea.
You said heiress. My first thought was FF7. Right.
Well, we're done with that one.
It
feels like it was just a couple minutes ago that we were talking about.
Yeah, so
it.
Going back to her story, though, in the first one, she was in this, she was on a plane crossing over the Himalayas, and then it crashed. And her family dies, and she's just left to survive in the wilderness. And I think that's something that this most recent incarnation took. You know, it's her just left alone to her own devices and realizing, hey, I can be this strong woman. I can do this. And this is actually something I want to do. So
that's interesting.
But going forward from there, they kind of switched it up, like who survived in one of the other games. I think it was like her fiance was involved in the crash, too, or one of her family members was still alive, only to be killed off by Jacqueline Natla, who's this corporate mastermind from the first game.
So they keep going back and like changing what was already established.
Yeah, it was just far too confusing. And it was like, all right, where are you going with this? The tired formula is just not working anymore. And they killed her off in the fourth one.
They did?
Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, they didn't. They ran out of ideas. They were like, all right, what are we going to do here?
Was that
Let's
the one
kill
that was,
her off.
Oh, right, that was one that was called The Death of Lara Croft, right? Or something
the
like
end
that.
Of the fourth one, and then the fifth one, Chronicles, is just people at her funeral, like, recounting her stories.
Oh, just...
It
oh,
was just flashbacks.
Yeah,
it was so freaking lame. I have it. I played it just because, I love the whole franchise. But even then, I was just going through the motions. I was like, well, what the hell am I playing here? This is just horrible. You knew what you were playing. It was crap.
Yeah. And that's what I think that they did a phenomenal job in this one was showing how she progresses, how she goes yes. from at the beginning of the game to the end of the game. She's a totally different person. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's amazing. The transformation is clear as day, where, you know, she really does just come into herself and realize that she can do all of these amazing things because she just did them. You know, she had to. She had
you know,
no choice.
I think yep. it turns into like a survival of the fittest fight or flight mechanism, and it's, you know, she could have been the scared little girl who crawled up into a ball and let these mean men string her up and disembowel her, but she, who did she ever fight back?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. It reminds me of Walking Dead, actually, because it's like, you could just let, you know, a walker eat you and just say, well, I give up on life, or you can just fight.
It actually reminds me like a hell. Lot. I could definitely see that. It reminds me a lot of Arrow.
Mm.
Because well, yeah. shipwrecked on an island and mm-hmm. has to like deal with cultists.
Very
and,
clearly, yeah. You can see the parallel there.
Yeah, definitely. She definitely becomes like an Oliver Queen-esque character.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so obviously they've kept the whole like her being marooned somewhere and having to survive in the wild.
That is still the same, and I think that's something that fans really appreciate because
right.
they want something integral to the story to remain alive, because then what else is there?
But instead, so take us through the story, Jackie, because you remember all the names of this stuff.
oh, boy. Okay.
They're sailing through the Devil's Triangle in the beginning, because what are they looking for?
They're looking for the Lost Kingdom of Yamatai.
Okay.
And
God, we have her here, Teach.
Right?
they're looking for the lost city of Yamatai, which apparently worshipped the sun goddess Himiko, and she controlled the weather. She was this very powerful goddess, and people didn't believe that it actually existed. She got funding from the Nishimura family, which her friend Sam is part
Sam.
Of. She's a Nishimura.
Yes, Sam.
And they got funding to go on the Endurance and seek out this kingdom.
Right.
And I remember the name of the... I'm trying to remember. White... what's
like
his
the
name?
Reality show guy?
Yes. Yes, I'm trying
his,
to remember.
I remember
See, I played this game a little while ago. It was like right after it came out. So I'm just trying to remember the
names. Here, you keep talking while I look up the names.
Oh, okay. But yeah, so they eventually get there. They're stranded. They split up. You know, just because they're shipwrecked, and she's left on her own to fend for herself and try to find everyone. Eventually she finds out that there are these other people there, that there had been people living on this island. You know, lucky for them, by the way, they actually were shipwrecked on the island that they were looking for. It just happened.
Yeah, that's how that works out.
But they landed there, and as she's just like walking around and exploring, she discovers that there has been life. She finds like these carvings and the you know, food in different areas or whatever. So she knows that it's been inhabited. What she doesn't know is that there's this brotherhood, this Solari Brotherhood, which is composed of other shipwreck survivors and like these cultists that want to bring back Himiko. And then later on you find out there are these Oni samurai
oh
still walking around.
Yeah,
and
that's
boy, are they
real.
Scary.
That was yeah. the coolest moment for me. Was, and we'll get to that as we progress, to the fact that they, you know, it was very Indiana Jones-esque in the fact that it was grounded in reality,
mm-hmm.
and it was this adventure in archaeology, but there was also this era, this element of the fantastical, of the arcane
yeah.
in there. I thought that was brilliant. I love that. All of a sudden she's fighting these demons.
Well, you see that in other games, though, too.
Yeah,
she's fought mutants
like
in other games.
Right.
Yeah.
Free-ass mutants.
By the way, I have the full list of people on the ship.
Okay.
We have Lara, of course. We have Sam,
mm-hmm.
who is the documentary producer and translator. Also,
right.
you know, main point of plot in the game.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We have Rolf.
And who, he's a family friend.
Yep.
And,
treasure hunter.
Yep.
Captain of the Endurance, the
right.
ship. Does he die? He dies, right?
He dies.
He does, yeah.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, we're going to spoil him.
You're going to find
if
out.
If you're listening to this
eventually.
Podcast, you have played this game and you love this game.
Yeah.
Yes.
Then there's Alex,
mm-hmm.
The
also
ship's engineer and radio technician on the Endurance. Then we've got Jonah. I'm doing
He's
it all
survivor.
In the way she said.
Yeah, yeah. I can tell.
Then you have Reyes.
Also survives.
And
just
the
saying.
One you were just talking about, Whitman.
Whitman. Yes, that's... him.
Yeah, that
oh,
piece
that
of garbage.
Piece of
trash.
He becomes a little turncoat.
Yeah.
What the hell?
And then there's also Grimm.
Oh, man.
Grimm,
when
he's the first one. Yeah, he's the first
himself.
One to go.
Ugh. That hurt, man.
You know, and that's the thing. That's like, a good guy. It would have been very easy for these characters to be very secondary, very one-dimensional. But like, you really like when Roth goes down. Like, you really.
Oh yeah.
When Grimm sacrifices himself. Mm-hmm. When frickin' Whitman like betrays you. It's all like it all hits.
Yeah.
Because the story is so complete, so well fleshed out. I really, really enjoyed.
And you know what brings it all together is those journal entries. You're actually getting their own thoughts on what's been going on in their lives before they even arrived.
Right.
And you find out some intricate stuff about their stories.
I love when she meets Matthias for the first time because you're just like, ah, hello, main villain of the game.
Right.
And yet you don't know. You get that feeling because he has that vibe, but...
Yeah. Going back to the journal entries, that's probably one of the most impressive things about this game is that almost every game that you play of this type or of any type has collectibles. You know, you have your GTA, you go find some pigeons or you go find some bags of Coke or whatever it is. This game, the collectibles actually mean something. Everything that you find, everything that you scavenge, you know, all these different artifacts, these relics that you can find, they have a story behind them, every single one of them. And, you know, just based on, like, when you find a relic, you turn it around in the camera.
Oh, I love that.
And you can, you know, you feel that controller rumble, you sense, okay, something's going on here.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, Lara spits out some little tidbit
historic
of knowledge about it.
Yeah.
Some
like
historical
legitimate
fact,
historical
a legitimate
facts, too.
Thing. Yeah, and it's amazing. Everything that you find is an actual thing. You're not just going and finding some random, you know, metal on the wall.
Mm-hmm. And even something that's not even part of the plot, the GPS caches.
Right.
I mean, they help open up the map so you can see what you're doing and what you're missing.
The mushrooms.
Exactly. And those damn mushrooms.
I
knew you'd bring that up.
I had to go to the mushrooms.
Damn you,
folks,
Kevin.
My completionist wife here, who has to get 100%, who tried to get 100% complete in GTA 4, or GTA 5. Which I gotta say is pretty close to impossible as human, but she got like 99% complete. All she had left was to find one damn mushroom and can't find it.
I still can't sleep some nights.
Yeah. Just wake up in a cold sweat. No, the mushroom.
Well, it's in this area that's populated with all these bad guys. Like, no matter...
Yeah,
like,
what are they still doing there at the end of the game?
This is what I hate. When you kill off bad guys in an area and you leave and you come back, they should be gone because realistically, they were killed. But no, they regenerate. So when I'm done with that area, I'm like, all right, I'm done.
I think one of the most poignant points for Lara as a character comes the first time she takes a life.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
When she shoots that guy in the face.
Yes.
And she has that like breakdown about it. Now, I think that's great because it really shows, it shows how traumatic something like that can be. However, she gets over it very quickly.
Very quickly.
And then it goes from like being so overcome by the fact that you killed a man to, I'm coming for all of you bastards.
Right.
But she's running through just firing arrows at anything that moves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she turns a corner there. That, she has a hard time. You really can't go back from. I think
she has a hard time even killing that deer.
Yes,
in the woods.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
That was from the very beginning. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think it really brings her home because for so long Lara has just been like bang, 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 bang. You know, like
right.
You know, this woman that will kick your ass in
with the double. You know, the double pistols.
Yes.
You know, going nuts with and
Uzis.
Now,
Uzi
now
guys, man. Love
yeah,
those.
Now it's a bow and arrow, and it's more. It's more visceral. It's more.
Yep.
More realistic, more down to earth. You know, like this is a person who is legitimately struggling with taking life, and
absolutely.
It's awesome.
Absolutely, but you know what? I feel like you get to that point where the call of the wild just kind of takes over, and then you see her just kind of like, okay, this is what has to be done.
Yeah,
and you know,
a survivor, you have to have that just snap into place because otherwise you're done for.
Right, but she never crosses that line to like enjoying it.
Right, she's just trying to survive. All she wants to do is go home.
Yeah.
You know? That's it. All she wants to do is get out of there alive.
With her friends.
With her friends, right.
Yeah.
I think she's old enough to know where the line is drawn here ethically, what she can or shouldn't do, really.
Yeah, and just like watching her just survive, you know, making the fire and things like that. It was all really, really great, and it was good that she had all that, you know, Roth gave her all that survival training.
Mm-hmm.
The next thing, I guess, to talk about is just the gameplay itself and the combat.
Amazing.
Oh, man.
Yep. Over-the-shoulder shooting, which I'm a big fan of. I don't like first person.
Right.
Well, it's always pretty much been third person perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I really appreciate that they kept that because that's just the way I'm used to playing it. But I really, over the course of the games, I found there were some moves I appreciated more than others. I remember when I was really happy when she could sprint. I mean, yes. There was a time where,
yes.
I think it was the second game. I don't remember. I think it might have been the second game. All of a sudden, she could sprint. It was like all I was doing for a while.
Right.
And when she could just go around ledges, like around the corners,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was something new. She yeah. couldn't do that. You know, back in the day, in the first game.
And that's the big difference now, is that 3D platforming has gone mm-hmm. so far
right.
since those days. That,
yes.
That everything is just seamless now. You
right.
really feel like you're totally in control. It's mm-hmm. it's so intuitive. You just jump towards a ledge. You just know what she's going to be doing.
Right,
she's going to latch on, and she's going to shimmy to the side. Or, you know, those quick time events where you fall off a cliff and you have to... out of the blue, just, you know, jam on the X button to really lock your pickaxe
like
into a wall.
Or when you're on the parachute.
Yes.
That mm-hmm. one was rough.
Yeah, the parachute, or when you're ziplining across all the wires,
yep.
and all of a sudden one snaps, you have to automatically attach to another one.
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many awesome action sequences in there, and they're so easy to perform that, you know, it doesn't take away from any bit of the game. Like, it just feels like it's all just one fluid motion.
Right. And there's so
amazing.
Much there that the developers wanted to make for the first games, but the technology just wasn't there. It just
right.
wasn't up to that time.
And we're talking 18 years ago now.
Yeah.
But even then, when Tomb Raider came out, it was ahead of its time with
oh,
what
yeah.
it offered
and
back
then. I like that they also included, eventually in the game, they include a physical attack, finally.
Right.
When you could, it's like you have this axe. Shouldn't you be able to like swing it at somebody?
And then yeah.
As you improve the axe, you can eventually start using it as a physical attack. And that's all I was doing.
Yeah, and it also it kind of goes back to her progression as you know, a survivor. Where mm-hmm. at the beginning, maybe she didn't necessarily want to be axing people in the face.
Right, and I think that's definitely
a
good point.
Eventually, she just you can only fall down so many mountains and and you know get shot at and
impaled
and set on fire. You know, mm-hmm. before something has to switch and say, listen, I need to kill these people before they kill me.
Right, yeah, and it's one thing to shoot a person with a bow and arrow from a distance. It's another thing to
yes.
axe them in the
can't
back of the head.
Up close
faces,
and personal.
Right?
Mm-hmm. And yeah, really just causing mayhem.
You know, I hadn't thought of it like that. I actually like that as like a way, like that's why it takes you so long to be able to do that in the game. I do like that. I think it helps the progression of her as a character. The weapons that she has, obviously the bow and arrow.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All the different bows you
my
can
favorite.
Get her. Yeah, that's what I always used.
Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, but going back to gameplay, because it has to do with gameplay.
Yeah.
How awesome are the RPG elements to this game?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Where, as you're progressing in the game, you're accruing experience points, and you're able to upgrade those weapons and upgrade her, and
right.
it's excellent.
And
everything that
it,
you do has an impact on
doing
the game.
Doing it how you see fit, not just, oh, I've reached level 10, I unlocked, you know, flaming arrows. No, it's,
right.
it's you know, I have
right.
all these points. Do I want to spend them on hand-to-hand combat? Do I want to
mm-hmm.
spend them on survivability? Do I want to spend them on, you know,
predator.
On being a predator? Yeah, it's phenomenal that they have these different skill trees that you can choose to go down whichever one you want.
You have choices,
yeah.
Yeah,
definitely. So the weapons, you got the bow and arrow. You have the singular pistol.
Right.
The shotgun, the rifle, and the climbing axe. First game, I think Jackie was saying, where you don't have an Uzi.
Yes.
That was
yes.
kind of a staple of
yeah.
Tomb Raider.
I mean, she's a survivor. She's not going to just randomly find Uzis, right? She's
right.
just going to find what she needs and use that.
I agree.
You know, obviously, in the previous game, she's been doing it for years. She knows what to use, and, you know, she had the Uzis because she's, you know, she favors them. She knows how they work. But in this
right.
instance, you know,
You knocked on the thing and it came out.
What?
I was getting all this weird feedback all of a sudden, and
oh, sorry,
you unplugged it also. So,
Ninja edit.
Yeah, go back what you thought.
Go back again.
Yeah,
oh,
just
boy.
The last couple sentences.
The last couple sentences.
What was I talking about?
Talking about Uzis and whatnot.
Yeah, well, she's this badass that's
yeah.
been, you know, an archaeologist for years. She knows what she needs to use. She probably has a preference for her Uzis already at that point. So she has them at the ready. But here, she has nothing at her disposal except what she happens to find. So
right,
it's more realistic that she doesn't just happen to find the weapon of choice from previous games.
Right, and
I'm okay with that.
I love the way she, like things become makeshift, like the firehouses, because she has that zip lighter.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And doesn't she do a thing eventually where she's able to, like, she alters the torch... where she can just light it whenever by like scraping it on something. Yep. Or,
Yeah. She alters a torch. She, you know, she figures out how to use certain weapons. You know,
they're the flares of the flaming, this game.
Yeah,
basically.
exactly. Adds the flaming arrows. You know, all sorts of different additions.
Flaming arrows, the rope arrow,
to the basic stuff that she gets originally.
And I like the open world environment. I think that's new for a Tomb Raider game too, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you can go anywhere on this island that you want to go at any point.
Yeah, there's no
time,
one
right?
path that she can follow. I mean, she can just build her own path and go however.
Well, because then like once you get like the rope arrows, for instance, you can then go back and and you know, go back to other areas and things like that.
And that's the first thing.
This definitely reminds me, I'm sorry, this definitely reminds me of saving issues. That's part of the gameplay too. I don't know if you remember the first one, you had to just save at the crystal save points.
Yep,
afterwards, you would just collect them and use them, you know, wherever you wanted to, and you would try to maximize on those. But now you can just, you know, fast travel. You can save at the campsites. It's just much, much better.
Yeah, the campsites are a nice welcome addition. It just, you know, as a breather, you know, because the game is very intense. You know, once you get into it, you kind of get lost in it, and then you get to a campsite and you can really just kind of take a breath, you know, and relax for just a minute, you know, before you head back out there and you're, you know, getting destroyed again.
Right. You know, no one's going to jump out at you, and you can actually read up on those journal entries and find out a little more about the people that you're looking for, that you've been working with.
Right. Yeah, it adds a lot to the gameplay and the replayability, and that's exactly it with all the progression, you know, upgrading your rope slinging, you know, upgrading your axe, all that kind of thing, where you would go into the first area that you meet, and you see all these areas that you're like, wow, how do you get up there? And you try for 20-30 minutes on like, okay, I can't get up there at all. And then later on, you get this, you know, your rope arrow, and you say, oh yeah, that's right, that was in that first area, let's go back there. And then all of a sudden, a whole new world is opened up to you that you've already been through.
And but do you remember from the first game, there were a lot of puzzles in that game that really stumped a lot of people.
Yes.
To the point
Lots
where they had to, you know, scale it back a bit for the second game.
Yeah, they toned that down a lot. Even in the reboot now, they toned that down a lot, especially with her, I forget what they call it, I think survivability mode, something like that, where...
Survival instincts.
Survival instincts,
yeah. Which is kind of like Batman. It reminds me of...
Exactly.
Yeah, it was like the detective vision.
Yeah, like the detective mode, yeah, where you know, if you were having difficulty, you at least see what you need to interact with, you know, but I like that it didn't tell you what you needed to do. It didn't just hold your hand through it. It just said, hey, here you go. You know, check out this wall. Something's crazy with it. You know, and then you figure it out from there, which I love.
Yeah, that's definitely great. excuse me. When I told a friend of mine that we were talking about this game, he called it Uncharted Raider.
Oh, how dare he.
Yeah.
Come on.
But, no, I think he has a point. Basically, Square looked at what Sony has done with Uncharted.
Right.
And who does that? Raw Dog, was it? Or not sure.
Naughty Dog.
Naughty Dog, yeah.
Naughty Dog.
When did Uncharted come out?
That's exactly the point, is that Uncharted feels like what Tomb Raider should have been if they had that kind of, you know...
back then.
Because I feel like now they have the technology, they created Uncharted because of the successes that Tomb Raider had, but for the male popular.
Right. So yeah, Uncharted was...
You could say, this game was inspired by Uncharted, but then Uncharted was inspired by Tomb Raider, so it kind of loops back around.
Yeah, that's exactly what everyone said when Uncharted came out. It said, oh, finally we get a male Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
It'll always be traced back to something, because even when the original Tomb Raider came out, oh, we have a female, you know, Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
It's, you know, that's
And that was at a time when Duke Nukem was like the big thing, this big bad guy, you know?
Yeah.
Not bad guy, but a badass guy.
Badass, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, with this game, it was just, it was such a departure from what you're used to, you know, with this character, with this kind of game. And it really, like, when the Oni showed up, the game changed completely. It's like you're dealing with this one kind of game this whole time. It's very grounded in reality. You're dealing with cultists. All of a sudden, demons show up.
Yeah.
Demons,
it was very
samurai.
Surreal.
Yeah, samurai costumes.
Demons, and all of a sudden, you're on a tropical island, and it's snowing, and there's a blizzard out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Right. It's clearly something surreal is happening. And,
yeah.
And it was amazing.
And I like the way she had to deal with the demons. Like, you know, you couldn't just fight the Oni, like...
No.
You know, and when you fought
one... She's tough at that point, but not that tough.
Right,
Those guys
really
got armor, all
right?
They will take you down.
Well, you know, and like when you're fighting the Oni, it's like you weren't just fighting them like they were putty patrol. Like, when you ran into an Oni, it was a big deal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, when they were doing that processional, you were just in stealth mode. You weren't trying to just hurl yourself in there and
I was
fight
legitimately
them.
Scared.
I was scared, yeah.
I did not want to be seen.
Yeah, the first time one showed up, and you're just like, holy
yeah,
God.
Yeah, what am I going
to
do?
Which I have
this thing?
To say is a throwback to the older games when you would encounter mutants and like all these freaks, yeah. And you'd be like, okay, I have to turn on the lights now.
Yeah, like,
I can't play this in the dark. This
yeah,
is
bears
really
are one thing, tigers, yeah. Sure, cool.
And even bad guys, but what is this with horns and a lizard tail? What?
I also think the concept of the what are the Solari?
The Solari Brotherhood?
Yeah.
I think their concept of them is terrifying.
It is. Yeah. That they are cultic.
They're yeah. serious, man. They cultists. Captured Sam and they want to transfer the spirit of the sun goddess into her, use her as a vessel.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah, fanatical cultists is a very scary concept that I think a lot of people have on their big fear list.
Yeah. Cuz it's not really all that out of the scope of believability, you know, mm-hmm. it can happen
right.
easier than you'd think.
Right, absolutely.
That a totally one
like this
one
exist.
Nutcase psycho can turn a mob into a very dangerous thing.
And especially when you're just marooned on an island,
right.
And you have this one leader that's going to, you know, bring you all together. You're going to believe whatever he's going to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because where are you going to go?
Exactly. You have no options.
You can't just say, nah, you know what? I'm just going to go home now.
you're, I'll go to the sea.
Yeah,
call the cops.
There's that tempest there, going on right
you're
now.
You're either one of them or you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I remember one thing I wanted to talk about. When the game first showed up at E3, mm-hmm. you remember they showed... yeah. Yep.
Oh, my God. Wait, is that her slamming up against the...
Or
any
just
ledges?
Walking, or just
anything?
Walking down
just running
path,
through,
or,
like, the...
Or stubbing,
oh God,
stubbing her toe.
You know,
yeah.
like...
Yeah.
A lot of people had a lot of problems with that.
Yes, and very glad that they corrected it.
Yes.
It's still kind of there in the
it
game.
It is,
you
and
know?
I like that it's there.
Yeah, but it's more manageable than the softcore porn that it sounded like it was going to be.
It does sound like that, but at the same time, as a woman, seeing her with those large boobs crash up against a ledge, I'm kind of in pain. You know? That's not a hurt.
Well, and then, like, I mean...
She would take a lot to the chest.
The things that she goes through, like, right in the beginning of the game, I feel like if that were me, I'd just be like, okay, just kill
yeah.
me.
Just end it.
Like,
yeah. like that one guy that she ends up shooting in the face that's begging her to die.
Yeah, like when she
that would be me. I would be that guy begging to die.
Yeah, when she falls down that thing and gets impaled through the stomach with that pipe. Like,
God.
By the way, that injury goes away pretty quickly.
What
wasn't the stomach. It was
about?
Like more the side.
Yeah, like right
I
through
guess.
The side. Like she kicks that really quickly.
Yeah. Just rub a little dirt on it. You're fine.
Dirt on it. I won't get infected or anything. That's fine.
But yeah, right there, like it's showing you like all the heart. Like when she wakes up in that cave, hung
yes.
upside down, bound with like body parts and bones and cobwebs, and you know,
such a creepy scene.
Yeah, and the way she gets out of it by burning the thing off of her. Was,
yeah.
Oh my God! Right there, like she should have died there.
Yeah, absolutely. And speaking of dying, the times where she does end up dying, you know, where you don't succeed in your path there,
right.
are some of the most gruesome kill scenes that I've ever seen in my entire
yes!
life. I remember one specifically where she's one of the scenes where you're traveling down a waterfall, and you know, if you don't dodge everything just right, she ends up getting impaled through the neck with a
yes,
branch.
With a branch.
With a, mm-hmm. over the branch, yeah.
Right.
That's just, oh my God, so brutal. And it just made you... just desperately not want her to die so that
yeah.
you didn't have to see that.
I don't want to.
Exactly.
I care about this character. I don't want to see
you know,
this.
Like, I don't want this to happen to
or,
you.
Or
I'm
even,
so sorry.
It looks too gruesome. It really does.
The other thing I liked was when you die in battle, you would hear the other guys geek out about how they
yes.
killed you. Like,
yes.
Yeah! Yeah, the bitch is dead.
Finally, mission complete.
Yeah, like, and that I think brought an era of, like an era of like finality to death in that
yeah.
game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think like there were sometimes where like if a boss killed you or something like that, I think it would look really horrifically
yes,
brutal.
Absolutely. Yeah, the
like
boss,
if you got
the
killed by an Oni,
boss deaths yeah. were definitely ramped up.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Let's
and rightfully so, because you probably died on bosses a lot.
Let's talk about the final boss of the game.
Yes.
Already?
Well, yeah, oh, is there something else you wanted to discuss then?
Well, the rituals, the
okay,
ascension.
Go into
I don't
that.
Know if that was in your notes, if you were going to
no, actually, it wasn't.
That,
so
but
go,
that's
go
kind
in,
of a biggie.
Then go into that. Go ahead.
Okay, cool. Well, the reason why Sam was captured is they were going to use her as a vessel for the
right.
sun goddess, right? They, what happens is I can't even think about what I was going to say.
Yeah, don't you hate when that happens?
There's this legend that the sun goddess after she dies, her soul has to be transferred on to another body so that she can continue living on.
Right.
And what happened during the last cycle, I guess you would call it, when she died, she was trapped in that body because another body wasn't presented. So that is the reason why there's that the storm
raging on. All the crazy weather situations.
Because she is angry. She is wrathful. She wants to be released, and she wants to live on, and she can't. So that's what the Solari are trying to do, is give her that vessel through Sam, and that's what Lara is trying to stop desperately. And that is the ascension ritual, which they're starting it towards the end, which leads into the boss fight, which you brought up.
Yes.
Her up against Matthias.
Not Matthias, it's that Supreme Oni.
It's a double, though, because you fight him first, and then...
A little underwhelming for everything that you've been through in the game.
Big Oni, I thought that
was... It was nice.
I had some trouble with it.
But yeah, it was... I don't know, I guess I expected a little more. I don't know why. I guess maybe I'm just being selfish because the game was just amazing.
You expected Emerald Weapon, probably.
Right? It wasn't that rough.
No Knights of the Round in this game. No.
Yeah, but when she picked up that second pistol, I kind of geeked out a little bit.
Well, yeah, that's the moment that I wanted.
That was a huge moment.
I loved that.
When she picks it, when she suddenly has the classic double Lara pistol thing.
I thought that was perfect throwback to the first game, and that's, you know, that was right there, that was the fan pleaser.
Yep.
That was okay, this is still Lara Croft.
Well, because I remember my big thing was, I was like, the entire game, I'm like, why isn't she using two pistols?
Right.
She always uses two pistols.
Yeah, because there certainly wasn't a shortage of them. There's pistols everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, anyone you kill, you could pick up another one.
She kills Matthias with the double pistols, right?
But yeah, Matthias.
But it takes a lot to wield, too. And I guess she has to get the hang of just using the one.
Yeah.
And then she got that confidence to pull out that second one. Of course, she needed to.
That was definitely a geek-out moment. That was Luke Skywalker with the lightsaber. That was Captain America picks up his shield. That was that moment for this film.
Yeah. And it kind of makes me yearn for the future of this series, because I feel like, and not to say that this is going to sound bad, but I love every bit of it. I feel like this entire game is a tutorial for the rest of the series. And
I can see that.
That this game is your primer into Lara Croft is coming back.
Yeah.
You know, because you're literally learning from the minute you play this game, from the minute you pick it up until the very end. You're learning something new every single go at it. And I love that, because you're never not progressing.
Absolutely.
You're constantly progressing.
In the old games, you always had the Croft Mansion, and then you trained there, and then you were thrust into the game, and that was it. You pretty much learned everything you're going to need to know.
Exactly.
That's it.
Exactly. Just when to use it is up to you. And now this game, you are learning new features, new abilities, new attacks, new weaponry.
Much more dynamic.
Everything is just learning from the get-go. Mm-hmm. And it was woven into the gameplay so perfectly that it's just, it feels like this is just the beginning of many great things to come.
Yeah, and I think that we're now at a point in time, with Devil May Cry changing the way it did, but this changed the way it did, we're beyond the era of the one-dimensional main character, I think.
Right, yeah.
That's why I don't think you're going to see another Bayonetta game.
Well, it was limited. Things were limited
now,
in the past.
I enjoyed that game.
Yeah, I know you did.
Everything was limited to a CD-ROM, so you couldn't really have all that much plot development, character development, all that stuff. Everything now is so overblown. You can have, there's so much more at your fingertips.
Well,
there's no excuse not to utilize all that.
And with the way gaming is going right now, I think it's more people want to see a movie that they can play, pretty much.
Yes.
Like, look at The Last of Us.
Right.
That was the game with that was the game with the ghost, right?
Sort of zombie things.
Oh no, I wasn't thinking of that one then. What's the Two Souls am I thinking of?
Oh, Beyond.
Beyond. Yes,
Two Souls. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a movie that you're playing.
Yeah, that is a movie that you're playing. Like Heavy Rain.
Last of Us was too, though.
Last of Us was more Tomb Raider-ish, you were definitely mobile. There was a lot you could do.
Well, like Watch Dogs, like that looks like a movie that you can play.
Watch Dogs looks like it's going to be the next big one.
Yeah,
if it ever releases.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah, I especially love the promo that they had when they were originally supposed to come out, which was 2 months after GTA 5.
Yeah.
On their actual promo, it said, "Hey, 2 months is enough to hang out in Los Santos. Why don't you come over to Chicago?" And that was 6 months ago.
That's
I think they didn't quite hit that mark.
But yeah, I think that this is the way that games are going now, and that's why I think I'm excited and optimistic for the future of this franchise, because I think you're going to continue to see this very personality-driven Lara going out into the world and having adventures, that it's not just going to be the one-liner, wink-at-the-camera, gun-toting Lara anymore.
Right. Yeah, more plot development, more character development Lara is always going to be a good thing. I love the new character model. I love what they've done with her.
And I like
she's vulnerable. She's not just this all-encompassing, I can kill everything that comes at me. You know, she's human. Yeah, she's human.
She can be taken
down. And I love the fact that the actress that voices her also did the screen caps for her. Like, that is her. Like,
yes, that is just her. Yep.
So, I mean, like,
acted this out and put a lot of emotion into it, and you can hear it, you can feel it in those cutscenes.
But I'm sure she redubbed over a lot of the lines, like, in post, but she was actually doing it, acting it out in a screen cap suit. You know, like, this is her. Like, it's the
actress. And I like that they modeled her physically after an actual person, not just what a guy would dream up a girl being.
Right,
you know?
Right, exactly.
She has to have, like, the tiny waist that it could just snap like a twig and, like, humongous tits, you know?
Yeah.
I like that, though. I like that she's much more realistic.
Absolutely.
Someone that I can actually say, yeah, I can emulate her and not feel a little weird about it. Like, she's nothing more than a sex symbol.
When you did the cosplay,
yes,
you actually did it as this Lara from this rebooted game.
Yes.
And it was awesome, folks.
It was a tough decision, honestly, because I've always been a huge fan of the entire franchise, and the first thing that pops into my head will be the first Tomb Raider, the very one that started it all, how she looked then. But I decided to go with this one because I really approve of the direction that they're going in with her aesthetically and her as a person.
Yeah. Why don't you talk a little bit about that costume that you made and like how it was, what?
Well, I think you guys should check out www.laracroftcosplay.com. It's a really great website. Sarah Croft is the admin, and she is spectacular.
Videos you were watching, right?
I'm sorry to plug her, but I have to because...
Don't feel sorry. Plug whatever you want.
Yeah.
Plug away.
Definitely check out that website if you're looking to cosplay Lara Croft. She has all of the game versions of Lara Croft, all of the tutorials on how to create her, how to create the weapons, how to create the accessories. She has everything that you need to know to do that. And honestly, without having those tutorials, I wouldn't have known where to start, especially with the axe. I actually built that. Used foam. I used an X-Acto knife, and that hurt my wrist like crazy because there's so much precision involved, but I followed what Sarah taught me to the letter.
Yeah, right. Much props to all you cosplayers out there. It is so far beyond my creativity level. I cannot possibly even dream of these, you know, beautiful costumes that are created.
There's just a lot of work that goes
absolutely.
Into it.
You
so much.
You worked supremely hard on it.
Yeah, so you can only imagine when I went on the ferry boat going to Comic-Con, and I was posing for a picture with my husband, and I'm sitting down and getting up for the picture, and my axe, the pointy side of it, was hooked under the seat. So when I stood up, crack!
Uh-oh.
I was so horrified. I held it together for the picture, but afterwards I was so pissed. I was so pissed at myself.
Yeah.
What an idiot move, and I put so much work into it.
But you also made the archery glove.
Yes, yeah. Out of strips of leather and some brown felt.
You made the quiver for the arrows.
Yep. I made it with a tube. And then I wrapped it up with canvas that I painted. I filled it with foam to give it a nice rounder texture. And also on the bottom, the top was a little bit wider. Because that's just how it looks in the game. And then I just used dowel rods for the arrows. Again, all of this was through the tutorials that I saw on that website.
That's great.
It was very helpful.
What was that website again? One more time?
LaraCroftCosplay.com.
There were a lot of Laras at Comic-Con. Whole lot.
I actually saw at least 5 or 6 different Lara Crofts, and they were all from this new game.
Yeah.
All the reboot. Nice.
Yeah.
I saw one or two from the old version, but...
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, when you said before that you'll always have that, you know, first image in your head, I wouldn't be so sure about that. I mean, this series could really take over. I think so, definitely, with
a new generation, definitely, this will start it off. But I think with the people that began with that game, that's always going to be in the back of your mind. You're always going to remember that nostalgically, because without that, this wouldn't even be.
Exactly.
Now,
so,
back to the game. going forward, looking at the future of the franchise, are there any like characters from the original game that you would like to see rebooted into the franchise?
Speaking of, are any of the characters, again, because I've only played the first one, are any of the characters besides Lara in this game already, in this reboot? Have you seen these reboot characters in previous games?
I don't think so.
No. I haven't seen. These are all brand new. I guess Larson was funny. I think I'd like to see him. Do you remember him?
Not off the top of my head. He's
the red-shirted the guy that tries to kill you before you fight off the T-Rex.
Right.
Which, by the way, that fight always freaked me out, man.
What?
Yes, before you fight off
T-Rex.
The T-Rex? She did not misspeak.
No, yeah. I always knew when it was coming because I played this game so many times and I was terrified. Once I saw the raptors, I was like, oh no. Yeah.
Raptors?
Yes.
Yeah, you hop over that little rocky ledge in front of the waterfall and you know it's coming.
You must play this game just for nostalgia. At least
Jurassic Park? What the hell?
This was some crazy shit. And
it was actually right around the time Jurassic Park came out.
Do you remember St. Francis's Folly?
Yes.
That monastery?
Yes.
All those levels and the Thor room, the Neptune room.
The nightmare of the limited controls that you had to fight the controals along with fighting the actual game.
Pierre hunting you down?
Yes, that
bastard.
I have a headache.
So are there any good villains or anything like that you want to see rebooted?
Jacqueline Natla? I guess.
That's the one you mentioned before, the corporate woman, right?
Yes, she was in the first one, and then she was in Legend, I believe, when they rebooted, not really rebooted it, but tried to start over a new canon for her. They made it so that Jacqueline Natla had killed her father after her mother had died, making Lara an orphan after that. So, you know, she was even more of a bad guy after that.
Right.
Again, I didn't play that game, so I don't really know too much about that. I just played 1-4 Chronicles, Angel of Darkness didn't play, Legends didn't play, Anniversary didn't play, Underworld. I played a little bit on the Wii, and it was very cumbersome.
The Wii? They had a Wii game?
Oh, yeah. It was so cumbersome. I just gave up on that. That was rough, because it was not the same controllers, obviously, that I'm used to. So
yeah, you wanted me to play that one, too, and I was like, yeah, I can't do this.
Yeah. That was the problem. I wanted to like it, but I couldn't get into it.
I think the concept of the Wii was great, but it got to be a little cumbersome at
times.
Not
for that game.
Yeah.
That game is not made for that system.
Yeah.
Definitely not.
And, you know, there are some games that work really well on the Wii. That's definitely not one of them. Like, I had played a Spider-Man game on the Wii also, and you had to, like, actually thwip for the webs and stuff like that, and I'm like, ugh.
Yeah, in theory, it's a great idea, but then once you're actually doing it for more than 15 minutes, it's just, you know...
Well, yeah, and then if it does...
It's a little much.
And then if it does, like, something goes wrong with the sensor or it doesn't work or something like that, you
right.
get, like, frustrated, you know, that's the problem, I think, a lot of times with the Wii. Like, when I got Punch-Out for the Wii, the reboot of Punch-Out...
Yes.
Like, you could play it either with motion... Or you can do it with, like, you could just turn the Wiimote sideways and use it like a Nintendo controller.
Play like a Nintendo.
That's what I did.
Yep, yeah. Absolutely.
But yeah, Tomb Raider not made for motion.
No, not
controls.
At all. And then going back to characters that could be brought back, I mean, maybe Werner von Croy from Last Revelation from the fourth game. He was an archaeologist that she was shadowing in the beginning because they kind of tried to show her as a beginner, someone that was already interested in archaeology as a young girl.
Gotcha.
He turned out to be. Little crooked, you know, her image of him was shattered, and that definitely altered the way that she saw things. I think I'd like to see him come back.
Do you see another movie in the future? You think?
I mean, God,
I've heard rumbling. Well, no, I've heard rumbling.
I've heard rumors as well.
If it's done right, please God, if it's done right.
Well,
if not,
it's difficult.
I'm not.
I mean, there really
going
aren't.
To see it.
I don't understand it. There really aren't many great. Video game adaptations for movies.
Super
really
Mario
aren't.
Brothers.
I mean, Super Mario Brothers.
We're dripping with sarcasm here, folks.
Yeah, absolutely.
No hate mail.
Absolutely. There really aren't. I mean, even the Resident Evil series is a decent movie franchise, but it has nothing to do with the games. And later on, they try to just shoehorn game elements in just to please fans. And
just because that's
a
title.
Mess.
Yeah.
It's a mess. Yeah, it's a complete mess.
The closest.
Was it because? Oh, I'm sorry. Is it because the story changed in Resident Evil? Was there you know, like a consistency in the story?
There's no consistency whatsoever.
I think that has to do with it. Definitely.
It does. It really does. And I think with a game with a game like this, with like this Tomb Raider, could easily be adapted into a movie. Mm-hmm. But again, I mean, you got to start looking at it as what would be the point? Is it going to be a cash grab, or do you really want to do the fans a service? If you want to do the fans a service, it's going to be difficult because this game is so good. How are you going to be better than that?
That's the thing. Like when people bring up the concept of the Mass Effect movie, which is coming like a freight train,
right?
you know, I'm saying, why do you need a Mass Effect movie? Right. I have Mass Effect.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, and they're making a Last of Us movie that's coming
out.
That's
already a movie.
And that's already basically a movie as is, and it's an amazing experience. It looks close enough. How are you going to possibly top that? The only thing it is it's a cash grab. Hey, this is a really popular game. Let's turn it into a movie and get some loot.
You know, it's like the first Mortal Kombat was all right.
I loved the first Mortal Kombat just because I'm a big old nerd.
Mortal Kombat.
I mean, I enjoyed it. I don't like the fact that Sub-Zero and Scorpion were like partners and didn't fight each other.
Yeah, that wasn't quite right. Yeah, there was a little. They weren't quite partners.
You know, Mortal Kombat.
They avoided each other.
Yeah, Mortal Kombat Annihilation was garbage. what were you just about to say that you liked it?
Listen,
give me please make this defense.
I'm not at all going to defend the movie on its merit. I'm going to defend it on, if you're looking to go and have fun watching a movie, that's one that you can have fun with.
Is it really
that they intended you to have fun with it? Okay. No.
So you have to go in with the right perspective.
You're talking about
then.
Like Mystery Science Theater 3000
exactly.
Again.
Exactly. Okay. Basically, you can enjoy that movie if you want to enjoy that movie. Okay. It is possible. Okay. I'm not going to recommend it, but it is possible. I do enjoy that movie at times.
And I do enjoy the first Tomb Raider movie. I thought it was good. Mm. I mean, how close was it to the games itself?
But therein lies the flaw. That is the problem.
Because it was close to those
games. What is it going to reflect? Which Tomb Raider game? Because they were constantly changing the storyline. Right. So if you can't have one unified theme, one unified story for her, then what are you going to follow, really?
You're basically just making a game or making a movie and putting the main character of a popular game
in it. She wasn't even technically an archaeologist in the game. I mean, the line that sticks out to me when she sees the main bad guy, and I forget his name, whatever, but she goes up to him and she's like, oh, still... Or he says, oh, still trying to be pretending to be a photojournalist. And she says, oh, pretending to be an archaeologist. You know, they have that little banter with each other. She is not even an archaeologist, but she's doing it on her own time because she has the money to do it, much like Bruce Wayne has the money to do what he wants at night.
Yeah, his little hobby.
Yeah,
exactly. But I don't think it was Angelina Jolie's fault.
Guys, it's a choice to be Batman. It's not a choice.
The choice was made for him, right? Okay.
Society made that choice.
Yes.
Criminals made that choice themselves. Now they got to live with it.
That's right. Society and all those stockbrokers made all those choices. All right.
But yeah, this is it has nothing to do with Angelina Jolie as an actress. I think she's great. I think she tried her best. But given the circumstances, I mean, what were they going to do, really, script-wise?
They could put Bane in it.
Huh?
They could put Bane in it.
Bane?
Still pretending to be a photojournalist.
And that was probably just your feeble attempt at inserting a Bane voice into a podcast. Yeah. Okay.
I'm okay with that because I love your Bane voice.
Yeah, well, that's
added to everything.
Well, back when TJ and I worked together, we used to play a game called Bane in Other Movies.
Yes.
Very close.
Yes, it was excellent.
This Saturday night, we're sending you back to the future.
Yeah, as much of it as he calls it a game between the both of us, it was mostly me just coming up with an idea and him voicing it.
Yeah. But I would love to see her get realistic supervillain-esque people.
Look,
if
they're going
her.
To do a movie on this, it should be from this game going forward.
Yes,
absolutely.
I agree.
Really.
Yeah, no
doubt. Don't look back anymore.
And
it was a mess.
And while I don't think they would actually do it because movie studios are not this broad-sided, they should get this actress to play her in a movie.
Oh, that would be incredible. And, you know, they probably could.
She's a legit actress.
She is a legit actress. Mm-hmm. She's on Grey's Anatomy right now.
Really?
Yeah, she's a character.
Watch Grey's?
I don't know if she's on right now, but she was on for the last couple seasons at least.
That's still on.
Yeah,
you're
that's still
a fan
on.
Of Grey's?
Wife's a fan. I catch a few.
Sure.
I fell off this season, to be honest with you. I lost that series.
20th season?
Yeah, I lost that series when George died, so that's it.
Wait, spoilers.
Yeah, really?
Sure. Just like my wife's a fan of Hannah Montana. Okay. So we got anything else to say about Tomb Raider?
It's phenomenal. Buy it. Play it. Play it again. Yeah.
Play the definitive edition.
Give it to a friend and have them play it.
If you're lucky enough to have a next-gen system, which I don't yet. I know TJ does.
Yes, sir.
Go get the definitive edition and experience it in super HD.
Yes. And if possible, PC is the way to go. Best graphics possible. Otherwise, you know, if you prefer the controls of a console, that's perfect. You know, consoles are nice and easy. Way to go. It's a phenomenal game. I mean, you really can't. I feel like this was just an hour-long love fest, but how can it not be?
Especially from my end. Yeah. I'm sorry, guys.
Jay Lee, any closing thoughts on this game?
Well, I actually wanted to ask you guys something. I don't know if we have time.
Yeah, we have time.
Though.
Okay. We got like 10 minutes.
What do you guys think of her as a person? Do you think that she was nothing more than a sex symbol, or do you think she is empowerment for women?
In this game or
in
general?
I have to say. In general, just the franchise, Lara Croft, when you hear that name.
Yeah, I guess I'll take that first. In general, it has been just a sex symbol. Because, again, the first 15 minutes of this podcast in general, we're discussing how different her boob size has been.
Yeah.
But that's just the first thing that you think of. But I do think that this game, this reboot, has gone leaps and bounds at changing that perspective. Now, anyone who picks up this Tomb Raider game expecting, tits and ass, they're really mistaken. They're getting an amazing game with an amazing character that's very deep and very layered, you know, that has a lot of vulnerability and is not just, you know, hey, let me, you know, bounce around my tits for an hour and a half and shoot people. You know, that's not what this is at all anymore. And I feel like that's the direction that it was going, you know, back in the past, and that's probably why they just killed her off, because there's no depth to that. That can only survive for so long before people get bored with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's boobs everywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, there's not this type of character everywhere.
Yeah, my perspective is definitely that I think in the beginning she was meant to be a symbol of empowerment based on what you were saying with the original designer. She quickly became a sex symbol, and now we're back to basics. We're back to the original intention for this character as a role model for young women, as a female superhero almost. I mean, she's like a female Batman at this point, or a female mm-hmm. Indiana Jones, I guess would be the more.
Just without all the money.
Yes. Well, no, she's got
no,
the money.
She has all the
she's
money.
She's got the money. Probably not as much as Bruce
not
Wayne.
As much as Bruce Wayne, but she has money.
Show me your tax return. but yeah, I would say that I think it's a definite step in the right direction for her, yeah.
I would definitely say overall, she's been a symbol of empowerment as a woman from the beginning, because you didn't have a heroine like this back then.
You have no opinion on this subject.
No, but we didn't have a heroine like this, a standout, someone that, you know, years later you hear the name and you just know, you know who she is, you know what she's about. You know, you think about the boobs and stuff, but besides that, you think about her name, you think about her courageousness, and she's remarkable in that right. And I think that even though you think about, you know, the sex symbol quality of her, she still was groundbreaking at the time.
Absolutely. And she was the first real female badass that we got in a video game, without a doubt. They'll never take that away. You know, there's been good female characters, good female leads before her, but never as badass as whipping out two pistols and just, you know, plowing through everything.
I would like to point out that there were two Lara Croft movies before there was one Wonder Woman movie.
Really?
Yep. There's never been a Wonder Woman movie, but there have been two Lara Croft movies.
Wow. So
that definitely says something for that character.
Yeah, because Wonder Woman is you know, empowerment in women. That's, you know, clear as day.
Yeah.
So that's big. I didn't realize that.
Yep.
Yeah, growing up with these games, though, men focused on the boobs and the ass.
Right.
But all I saw was, wow, this woman is like a globetrotter. She's kicking ass, taking names, and, you know, collecting these artifacts. And she's so smart and resourceful. She's like everything I want to be. I emulated her. From the beginning, I was like, I'd like to meet the Dalai Lama and Lara Croft, even though she does not exist. These were my goals in life when I was growing up. I wanted to be her, not because of her physique, but because of what she stood for.
Well, I would hope you wouldn't want her physique, because then you'd break in half.
Yes.
No,
it's just not physically possible.
Ouch. Yeah. No, I wouldn't want the back pains that are associated with large breasts.
Right. It's like
no,
wanting to
you.
Be Barbie. It's just not going to happen.
No, exactly. No.
Well, does that about do it for everything, guys? Have we covered everything you wanted to touch
on? I'd say so, yeah. I don't think I can think of anything else awesome to say about this game, but if I do, then sure.
Keep it to yourself. People heard you talk long enough.
Yeah, I'm sure I can say a ton of great stuff about this game and continue on and on and on, but we don't have time for that.
Absolutely. Folks, we're keeping it to an hour this week. We're not making the mistakes that we made with Final Fantasy VII. Well, it's not a mistake.
We could have.
Yes, we could have. So that's going to do it for episode 2 of Boss Fight. Folks, for TJ Bogart, for Jay Lee, I'm Kevin Kessler. Game over. We will see you next week.
This has been a production of the White Dragon Podcast Network. For information on this, as well as our other great podcasts, check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/WD Podcast Network, email us at WDPodcastNetwork@gmail.com, and follow us on Twitter at White Dragon PN.